I want to welcome you to the Church of Unity in Christ, a place that we are making a commitment to you to help you become the best that God ordained you to be. I want you to understand something. We're human. We're going to be in here. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to have disagreements. We're going to have different things going on. But I can promise you this. I can promise you, as pastor of this church, I'm committed to you becoming the best that God ordained you to be. And I'm committed to loving you in spite of all your failures, misfortunes, all of that. We'll stand right there with you. Once again, I say welcome. Amen, amen. Could you bow your heads, please? Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father God, for everything you're doing in our lives and all we have yet to do, Lord. I pray, Father God, this morning that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, Lord, let it be acceptable in your sight, Lord. I pray, Father God, that you use me, Father God, for your service and to allow, Father God, the words that flow from me, Father God, not represent me, Lord, but represent you. That people see, Father God, through me, Father God, that you're alive and you're alive forevermore. That you are the only true God. And help them to know the Lord Jesus Christ, Father God, in the pardon of their sins, Lord. As we go forth today, Father God, let us go forth, Father God, rejoicing in you, knowing, Father God, without a shadow of doubt, Father God, that you're the one that begun this work, Father God, and we know you faithful enough to finish it. These prayers I pray in Jesus' name. And Father, I thank you for it. Amen. And amen. Welcome back, everyone. As always, I would like to thank God for his presence here. The Lord Jesus Christ for being an awesome example of what a human being should be. And the eternal power support of the Holy Spirit. I also take solace in your presence here. The love and support that you show me, as well as this ministry. I am encouraged to keep pressing forward. We have been embarking upon a series entitled How to Overcome Distractions and the four pillars that help us to accomplish this. In our first lesson, we learned about the first pillar of recognition, the internal and external workings, the importance of honesty and uniqueness in our distraction. Then we move to the second pillar of targeted focus, where we learn that we must zero in and concentrate on the solution to our distraction. Then we move to the third pillar of perseverance. We learn that perseverance must be accompanied by submission, especially to our Creator, and faith to accomplish our stated goals. Now we move to the fourth and final pillar of this series, compartmentalization. This is the act or process dividing something into sections, areas, categories, or compartments. Now, I want you to understand something about compartmentalization. We often become aware of this word when we experience trauma. This is a psychological defense mechanism where we cope with our trauma by mentally compartmentalizing them. For example, there's this term we often hear when we talk about our military personnel coming back from war, post-traumatic stress disorder. This is where soldiers compartmentalize the trauma of horrific events in their minds so they can continue on fighting the battle. Now, this often works when they're on the battlefield. However, when they come home and try to find some sense of normalcy, those traumas, those things that they have compartmentalized, that they've put away in the back of their minds, tend to come up, tend to cause them to be able to act in certain ways where they can't cope with the environment they're in. Amen. And these things become a distraction. Where they can't hold a job. Some turn to drugs, alcoholism. Some are homeless. So many different things that they go through because of what they experience in war. Amen. This is why learning how to overcome distraction is so vital to all of our well-being. This is not about just the church or people that are saved or serving God. This is about everybody. Learning how to deal with those things that are distractions in our lives. Because I believe that every human being should be able to live a productive life. I believe that every human being, no matter what they've been through in their life, they should be able to bounce back from it. Amen? There are those that have been through so many different things. I don't want to mention them all, but everybody know they have been through some horrific things in their lives. Everybody know they have compartmentalized those things. They've suppressed them in their minds for so long that they live their lives thinking that I'm okay. But all the while they know in the back of their mind that thing is there at any instant to come in and become a distraction. Amen? I'm reminded of being watching this particular movie. I won't call the name of it. And the lady in the movie had these kids. And the lady was very overprotective of her kids. And this guy, very nice guy, Christian guy, trying to live right. He had a child, and he was trying to coexist with the woman. He wanted to marry her. He wanted to be with her. He wanted to take his child and her children and bring them together and create a family. But the lady was apprehensive. She didn't trust anybody. And so as the story went on, he starts spending time with the lady, and they start getting to know each other, and she was at his place, and the kids are asleep. She sleeps, so he left to go get some ice cream. And when he came back, the lady is in a frantic state. She's trying to figure out what's going on. Why have you left us like this, unprotected? And he's telling her, we're okay, don't worry about it. I got you. I just went to get some ice cream. But she's so traumatized by something in her life that is causing everything that she's doing going forward to be guarded. Where she's not able to open up and experience what God wants every human being to experience, life. And the fullness of it, the beauty of it. Amen? As the story went, found out that the lady was molested as a child by her stepfather. And her mother was aware of it. Her mother didn't do anything to stop it. And that's what she encouraged it. And the girl in her mind was wondering, why would my mother, the one that loves me, that's supposed to protect me, would allow this to happen to me? And it damaged her. Why am I telling you this? I'm telling you that it's important that we as children of God, as humanity, learn how to deal with our distractions. Because if we don't, they're going to follow us wherever we go. We're going to bring them into every relationship. And it's going to stunt our growth in the Lord. Amen. We have to learn how to overcome distraction. It's vital. Amen. I also want to say, compartmentalization is not just negative. Amen. It's positive also. And I'm going to give you something. As I was reading and studying and writing, I thought about something, and it's so simple. But yet, to some are complex. We have been conditioned to compartmentalize all our lives. Amen. Let me give you an example. A wallet and a purse. These two things compartmentalize. You have this one wallet, this one purse, but in that, there's compartments. There's a place that you can put your driver's license. There's a place you put your credit cards. There's a place you put cash. There's a place you put other things, pictures of your family, whatever, right? Amen. There's a place in there where you put makeup, you put a comb. The list goes on. In that one place, but everything in that place is what? Compartmentalized. Now, we've been conditioned all along to understand that we can do this. We can compartmentalize. But it's amazing to me when it's time to compartmentalize our lives, it becomes complex. Amen? But we do it every day. When you get out of the bed in the morning, you get out of the bed in your bedroom. Because that's what it's called, your bedroom. That's what that area is. When you go into the kitchen, where the stove, refrigerator, the sink, where you're able to wash dishes, cook food, get stuff out of the refrigerator, that's called the kitchen. That's another what? Compartment. We compartmentalize every day. Amen? So why is it so difficult to compartmentalize when it comes to my job? When I go to work, I'm going to organize what I'm supposed to be doing. And I'm going to set a course for what I need to do to get it done. When I come home, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to organize what I'm supposed to be doing. Amen? If that means that I need to set 2 hours aside to make sure that my wife is happy, that's what I'll do. Amen? If that means that my wife gives me 3 hours to sit down and read and study, guess what? That's fine. Because what we're doing is we're compartmentalizing. We're making sure that we're putting everything well in its proper place. Just like that wallet and that purse. Amen? Doesn't that sound simple? Doesn't it? Or is it complex? Oh, no, that's too much. See, the wallet and the purse is a good example. However, life has so many twists and turns that you can't just compartmentalize everything. Yeah, you can. Let me tell you why. When things began to happen in your life, you choose how to deal with them, don't you? Amen. No one walks up to you and says, you need to take care of this here first. You need to take care of this here second. You need to take care of that third. No. You're the one that decides what you're going to deal with at that particular time. Is that correct? So you're the one in control of what? Compartmentalizing what you're going to deal with. Is that correct? Amen. Now watch this now. Watch this. Many of us know that we start off trying to accomplish things in our life. But it seems like there's not enough time in the day or night to get it done. Right? You know, we talk about, well, that's 24 hours in a day. Really? Don't seem like it. Seems like 24 hours go so fast. 24 hours can be 15 minutes. That's how fast it's moving. You start doing something before you know it, oh man, God, leave all the time with. Right? But now, it's about putting stuff in the proper perspective and giving whatever you're trying to do the time that is necessary to take care of it. And then once you take care of that, you leave that alone. Okay? You leave it alone. You don't go over here. It's like me
sitting down, and I'm gonna give you an example. It's so prevalent to this lesson, because how many times have you sit down? And I'm talking about us as men. We'll sit down, we'll watch a movie with our wives, eating popcorn, enjoying ourselves with our wives, and good wholesome movie, whatever, you know these. I'm gonna use the word chick flicks. That's what it's called. Okay, I'm not trying to be offensive or anything, but that's just what it is. Amen? But in the back of our mind, that's what we're looking for. We want to watch an action movie. We want to watch football. Amen? Am I wrong? Any men want to confess with me that at times when we're sitting here trying to enjoy our wives, that we're not really always there? And you women, let's be honest now. If you're watching something with us, an action movie, something you know you're not really interested in, but you're doing it because you want to spend time with us, your mind is somewhere else. Amen? That's how I know you're somewhere else. Amen? My wife is a good example of this. If we're watching something that she don't want to watch, she'll sit there, she'll watch it with me, but then she'll start looking at her nails. She'll grab her phone. She'll do certain things. I said, baby, you're not watching. Yes, I am. I'm watching it. She started multitasking. Amen? Amen? Don't say, amen, I'm going to leave that alone. Amen. But the point I'm making is, we have to compartmentalize, give our attention to what we're trying to get done. Amen? And put everything in its proper place. Because I don't want you to get in your mind that you go to work and then you taking your work home with you. No. Look, when you go to work and you do your job, that's what you do. When you hit that clock, when you walk out that door, guess what happens? Your mental state has to change. In other words, you cut it off. Right? On your way home from work, guess what you do? Decompress. Get all the stuff out your mind about work, all the stuff that's going on, happening at work, whatever. You know why? Because it doesn't belong at home. Because when you get home, it's different. When you get home, it's not about what happened at work. This is about what's going on right here. I have taken work and compartmentalized it. I put it in the back of my mind. I'm not concerned about that anymore. What you feel like eating tonight? You want to watch something on TV? Do you want to do this? You want to go take a walk? That's what my concern is. Amen? Amen. Let me get into this now. Y'all done got me so excited. I don't know what to do. Amen? Now, I want to take the time right now to shift our focus from Jairus and the woman with the issue of blood. You know, we discussed them in our last three messages. But today I want to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ and how Jesus made a stated goal. But then how Jesus gave us one of the greatest examples of how to compartmentalize. Amen? In Luke, chapter 4, beginning at verse 16 through 21, I want you to hear Jesus' stated goal or purpose. Amen? And I want you to understand the significance of it, because once you decide to say I'm going out and try to accomplish something, you best believe distraction is coming. Amen? Amen. In Luke chapter 4, beginning at verse 16, there you will find these words. Jesus traveled to Nazareth, the town where he grew up. On the Sabbath day, he went to the synagogue as he always did. He stood up to read the book or the scroll of Isaiah, the prophet, was given to him. He rolled, opened the scroll or opened the book and found the place where this was written. Now, I want y'all to hear this real good. Now, I want you to hear and hear it and get it in your heart because it's important. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. He has chosen me to tell good news to the poor. He sent me to tell prisoners that they are free and to tell the blind that they can see again. He sent me to free those who have been treated badly and to announce that the time has come for the Lord to show his kindness. I want y'all to hear that real good. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. King James says that God has anointed me. Amen. God has chosen me to go out and tell people the good news. What good news, Jesus? That your state can change if you believe in me. I'm trying to tell you that no matter what you're going through, you can be set free from it. Amen. I know that you've been through some trauma in your life. I know you've been through some disappointments. I know you've been through some things in your life, but I want you to know I'm coming to tell you this morning that there's a way out from all this. Amen. Amen. I want to preach right there. Be honest with you. Amen. Then Jesus says something. 20th verse says Jesus closed the book and gave it back to the helper and sat down. As everyone in the synagogue watched him closely, he began to speak to them. He said, while you heard me reading these words just now, they were coming true. They were being fulfilled. They were being accomplished. Amen. Why am I saying this? I'm saying this because we have to understand that there are people out there, man, that's going through things. There are people out there that have been going through things, that have been through things. And they're still holding those things in their minds and their hearts. They're not free from them. How do you get over being molested? How do you get over being betrayed? How do you get over being abused? How do you get over being beat? How do you get over those things? Amen. But what God is trying to tell us this morning is that I understand that you've been through some things, but I don't want you to allow those things to paralyze you. I want you to use those things to propel you to be the best that God ordained you to be. I want you to allow yourself to overcome your distractions so you can go out and tell others that they can overcome theirs. To let those that have gone through there, those that have been abused, those that have been tested, those that have been through all these different things, let them know that there's a way out. That you don't have to walk around and be like those soldiers that's coming back from war. Amen? You don't have to keep on compartmentalizing your traumas. You can overcome it. That's why it's important to overcome all distractions. Amen? Amen. In this final lesson, we will examine how Jesus used compartmentalization to overcome distractions. We know from our previous lesson in Mark 5:21-43, as Jesus was on his journey to accomplish his stated purpose or goal, there was a great crowd gathered around him. Then there was the ruler of the synagogue, Jairus, the woman with the issue of blood, and his disciples. All these people were in need for various reasons. Remember the stated goal was to meet those needs. Amen. Jesus gave recognition to the crowd by preaching the gospel or the good news. He gave recognition to Jairus by telling him he would come to his home to heal his daughter. He gave recognition to the woman with the issue of blood by telling her that her faith healed her. In essence, Jesus produced as a targeted focus. But all this was done by responding to each of these people through what? Compartmentalization. All these people had different things going on in their life. And Jesus didn't deal with them in a whole group. No. What he did was he compartmentalized Jairus. He compartmentalized the woman with the issue of blood. He compartmentalized the crowd. He compartmentalized his disciples because he had to deal with each and every one of these different sections or group of people or things differently. Amen? Now you got to think about that. Here this man coming out here and he preaching. And the Bible said a crowd of people. I'm talking a crowd of people. We're not talking 5 or 6 people. A crowd. And the Bible talks about a multitude. That's a lot of people. Amen? And all these people got things they're dealing with. All these people are looking at him to help them to overcome whatever they're going through. Right? And Jesus dealing with them the way he does best. By compartmentalization. Amen? Look with me to Mark 5, verse 35. I want y'all to see something. It's important that we understand this. It's important that we recognize the how we must compartmentalize those different things in our lives. I'm talking about circumstances. I'm talking about people. I'm talking about everything that anything that can become a distraction to you, you got to compartmentalize. You got to put it in its proper place and deal with it accordingly. Amen? Amen. In Mark chapter 5, verse 35, you will find these words. While he was still speaking, there came from the ruler's house some who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." Now I want y'all to see something here. I want you to understand something here. We know that there was a crowd of people. We know that the disciples were there. We know that the woman with the issue of blood came in and got healed. We know that Jairus was waiting through all of that. And while Jesus was taking care of all that, the man's daughter dies. Amen? And Jesus tells him, "Do not fear, only believe." In these passages, we see Jesus having to deal with what? Doubt and fear. Amen? He did not preach about doubt and fear. You know what he did? He compartmentalized it. Let me show you how. This is evident in verse 37. "And he allowed no one to follow him except Peter and James and John and the brother of James." What did he do? He pulled these people out of the crowd. He pulled these people away from the woman with the issue of blood. He pulled these people away from the other disciples. Amen. He said, "I want a certain group with me." Guess what? A certain group that doesn't what? Don't have doubt and that believe. Why am I saying this? I'm telling you that when you hang around people and you're trying to tell them that I'm trying to accomplish something, I'm trying to get some stuff going, I'm trying to start my own business, I'm trying to buy me a house, I'm trying to get me a car, I'm trying to help somebody, I'm trying to whatever you're trying to do, there are certain people that you got to separate yourself from. Because what they're going to do is they're going to breed doubt. And that doubt is going to sleep in you. And guess what happens? You stop believing. Amen? You want people around you that believe in what you're doing. That encourage you in what you're doing. Watch this. taking her by the hand, he said to her, Talitha Kumai, which means, little girl, I say to you, arise. And immediately the girl got up and began walking, for she was 12 years of age. And they were immediately overcome with amazement. And he strictly charged them that no one should know this and told them to give her something to eat. Now I'm going to try to hear that real good. He brought these people of faith in the room with him. Amen. Let me tell y'all something. When somebody starts talking doubt to you, when it's talking down to you, trying to make you doubt what you're trying to get done, get what you need to do. Huh? Don't be rude. You don't have to be rude. Right? But do you not know that compartmentalization is a mental thing? Huh? It's mental. You can shut it off.
Am I listening to that?
Mm-mm. Don't tell me what God can't do. Don't tell me that, oh, well, you know, it's hard over there, man. These people's, boy, these some tough people, okay. Well, is anything too hard for God? Amen? As we close, we have been given the greatest example of how to overcome distractions through the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has crystallized the need for us to accomplish this. Our ability to give recognition to our distractions, to have a targeted focus, to submit and believe in our efforts of perseverance, to learn and apply positive compartmentalization helps not only us, but others as well. We have been given the tools to become overcomers of our distractions. My prayer is that you utilize these tools and allow your example to be a ray of hope for others. I would be remiss if I didn't mention the woman with the issue of blood for 12 years. Now, Jairus' daughter being 12 years of age. This is God's way of enlightening us to the fact that the number 12 is a sign of God's perfect governmental foundation and divine authority. And this is what these four pillars stand on. God continues to bless you and keep you. Amen. Will you bow your heads, please? Now may the grace of God, the sweet communion of His Holy Spirit, let it rest, rule, and abide in us henceforth and forever. Let every child of God signify by saying, amen, and amen.
Yeah, I want to talk about member services. Our member services was part of our church to make people feel they're loved, feel they're appreciated, respected. But also we want to be able to develop people, help them to find their purpose. We believe that every human being has a purpose. We're not just here just to dribble a basketball or work behind a desk or drive a truck, whatever the occupation may be. We believe that humanity has a greater purpose in it. And so we want to be able to give people opportunity to come in and be a part of a family that's going to help them to become what God ordained. That's what our member service is about.